There is a better way, and certainly the Bible speaks a great deal to the truth that there is ways to do things, and there are better ways to do things. We've all experienced doing something the wrong way, or not in a very good way, and had to revise what we were doing to fix it and be able to move on a better way of doing things. You know, Thanksgiving is upon us, and it's about normally getting together our entire family and under one roof, if possible, and hoping that the police is not called. Some people know how to cause a ruckus. It happens every year where you hear about all these horror stories of people that got together, all the family got together, and they ended up in an argument, a fight, or something of that nature. That's sad, is it not? But the Lord tells us how we can have a continual feast. And we notice that in our passage. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, beginning at verse 13. A glad heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. The mind of him who has understanding seeks a knowledge and inquires after and craves it. But the mouth of the self-confident fool feeds on folly. All the days of the desponding and afflicted are made evil by anxious thoughts and forebodings. But he who has a glad heart has a continual feast, regardless of circumstances. Better is little with the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord than great and rich treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted ox and hatred with it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. And I pray, Father, that you'd open our hearts to this truth that there are better things for your children. And I pray that you might help us to understand and know these things from your word and have our hearts strengthened and encouraged. And may we be counted among those who have a continual feast because we have a cheerful heart, cheered by the grace and goodness of God. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the phrase, the cheerful heart or the merry heart has a continual feast. There's always something good for someone that has a merry heart. And we spoke last time on this particular subject. And basically, they're having Thanksgiving 365 days a year. My wife made green bean casserole the other day. And I said, this is the time of the year I love because I love green bean casserole. And she made some squash. Tonight, thanks to the Patricks, we had squash. And, we have all these, the turkey and ham. We had ham tonight. So we're getting ready. We're getting geared up for the Thanksgiving season. And there's just something special about this time of the year. You know, eating turkey in the spring just doesn't have the same feeling, does it? It just doesn't have green bean casserole in the summer when it's 103. Just doesn't have the same thing. But when it's cold outside, there's just something good about that. That's kind of a picture of the Thanksgiving season, is it not? And the Bible says there are two things that will help us in having a cheerful heart, a merry heart. And these are things that the world would never consider. They come up with all kinds of alternatives for how to have a merry heart. You know, let's have a bunch of alcohol and have a big party. That's what they consider to be their fun. But the destruction that comes from that is sickening to see the things where you see all the time, the Hollywood crowd, people are dying at younger and younger ages because of their lifestyles, the drugs and the alcohol, and they're trying to be happy. This Matthew Perry that just passed away, an actor, had a full-time doctor with him to prescribe him medications, prescription drugs, so he could get through the day and he could sleep at night. How many times have we heard that? Well, these people can't have a good night's rest. They've got to have all these other things. They don't have a continual feast. And they certainly don't have a merry heart on the biblical standard scale. And so we need to look at what are these two things? What are these two qualities that are found with people that have a cheerful heart? Number one is that they fill their hearts with the fear of the Lord. They fill their hearts with the fear of the Lord. Now, the world fills their hearts with all kinds of other things, but we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what the Christian, what the believer is supposed to fill their heart with, and that is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not just an Old Testament concept. Please understand that. The fear of the Lord is found throughout the New Testament as well. It is a reverent awe of God, and you better never lose it. We're to fill our heart with that testimony. By the way, the word better that's used in verse 16, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil, that word better is in the Hebrew, Englishization of that word is tob, and it means beautiful. It's something beautiful. To have the fear of the Lord is a beautiful thing. This is something that we need to switch gears in our minds. A lot of people think of the fear of the Lord and they say, oh, that's terrible. We shouldn't be fearful of God. No, it's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. It's something that God says is beautiful. The idea of the word better there. It's beautiful. We all know what beautiful things are. You know, in the springtime when the flowers come out, I love azaleas. I've got several different varieties in my yard. And I love azaleas. I love the blooms that come out and the different colors, the purples, the pinks, the variegated type. And they're just a beautiful flower to me. And there are many other beautiful. My wife loves mums. We have them all over the front porch at our house. And we enjoy them. So do the squirrels. I didn't know that squirrels like mums. But they have been eating the flowers off of our mums. We caught one of them on his standing up on his hind legs, just eating away on our Walmart. I wanted to go out there and shoot him, but I didn't want to make a mess there on the porch. But, even squirrels appreciate, beautiful things. Beauty is not just in the eye of the beholder. There are some things that are just beautiful, and God has made them that way. The beauty of a sunset. I enjoy this time of the year. Walking between the fields during soccer, I go from field to field and I watch some of the games and I talk to people and I just get to watch the scenery of the sunset on a regular basis. I get to see it in the spring, but in the fall there's just something about the sky. And I've got lots of pictures on my phone taking pictures of the sunsets at this time of the year. It's just a beautiful thing, and God paints the sky every day. Now sometimes there are clouds that obscure that, but for the most part, we have beautiful sunsets, and we enjoy that. God paints that every day. Can we appreciate that? How about at night when you go outside? Take your chin and go like this and look up and see the beauty of the stars. I mean, it's gorgeous. I used to walk my kids out to the soccer field, and we would look up into the heavens, and I would help them find the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper and the String of Pearls and Orion the Warrior, and we would look for those kind of things, and we'd find the North Star. And by the way, never look for the North Star in the south. You won't find it. All right? You have to go north. You have to know your directions. All right? And find Mars and find Venus and find those planets that are nearby. And then the stars, and it's just a beautiful thing that God has created, and He paints that picture every night, and most people got their head down. And what are they viewing? They're viewing the things that man has made. When God has painted a beautiful picture, do you know how much Job talks about the creation of God in the latter chapters of that book? And he talks about the constellations and the stars, and he talks about the creation, and those things are brought forth where God is speaking. And he said, Job, did you make these things? The question for us today is, do we even notice these things? They're things of beauty. They're things that make us better because we've paid attention to them. This is being lost today in our churches. We're so busy focusing on this down here that we don't see what God has made. And our poor children miss it too. They need to be aware. They need to be aware of these things. Buy a book that has them where you can look at the constellations or get on your phone and say, all right, let's find this thing and buy a telescope. That's all right. And then go buy a microscope and look at the small things that God has made. They're just as beautiful and wonderful as well. But we're too busy. We're just too busy. And so we don't have the better. Oftentimes we got the mediocre that we substitute and we call it better, and we get all excited about it. Oh, this is so much better. But it's man-made. It can't be. It can't be better than what God has made. Do you know that in heaven, we're not going to have the technology that we have here? Some people are already going into withdrawal symptoms. What? I'm not going to have all that? No, you won't need it. You're going to have a new body that can move about in ways you've never moved here. We stumble and trip. I've got so many roots in my yard, predators won't have a chance. If anybody tries to break into our house, they're going to be bruised up and beat up, tripping up on all the roots that we've got in our front yard because they're washed out and so forth like that. That's our built-in security system that we have. And I'm the one that usually trips on it trying to get up into the house. But we are missing a lot today, even in Christianity, because we're not noticing the beauty that God has for us. He says it's more beautiful to have a little with the fear of God than it is to have great treasure and trouble therewith. Now, what God is not saying here, He's not praising living on the edge of disaster. I've heard people, they try to make it out like that. No! God's not saying we're not supposed to live on the edge of disaster all the time. What He's saying is that there are some things that are more beautiful than others. And the beautiful life of a Christian is one that fears God. There are just certain things that I won't do because it'll offend my God. Is that all right if we live that way? There's just certain things I won't, some places I just won't go because I don't want to offend my God. I think that we're missing that today. We've taken this liberty notion to realms of disbelief, I think, in God. He looks at us and says, what are you doing? Honor me. Fear me. But we're not. We're just doing our thing every day, just doing our thing. And God says, wait a minute, it's better. It's better if you fear me than what else you're doing. So, we're to fill our hearts with the fear of the Lord. Now, what does that mean, the fear of the Lord? It's not a slavish type terror that we have where we walk around all the time thinking that God's going to knock us down. No, He's gracious. He's good. But He's still God. You can have both of those understandings. He's gracious and good, but He is still God. I cannot create one thing. Watching videos, my neighbor, Mr. Logston, in 1955 was aboard ship whenever they set off nuclear blasts. One of the blasts sunk a couple of our old ships that we had out there, but they had to go out on the deck at 4 a.m. in the morning, and their protection was putting their hands over their face. That's what they did. They laid down on the deck, they put their hands, and he said, I could see, when the bomb went off, he said, I could see my blood flowing through my fingers. That's how bright the light was. And so I looked up the video. I wanted to see what he went through in that blast. And it's just amazing that this bomb with the tiny little atoms were split. And the massive amount of radiation that was released did the kind of destruction. The bows of the ships that were facing toward the explosion were melted and twisted inward. Some of them were sunk. Some of them were so radioactive that they had to sink them because they couldn't clean them to get the radiation off of them. They had to go ahead and sink them where they were. And here they were sitting 50 miles away on the deck of a ship. He said, I'm one of the few people left alive. He said, all my buddies that I had all died of cancer. Mr. Logson's 89 years of age. The Lord's been good to him, and I remind him that on a regular basis. But you think about the power and the might of one nuclear bomb And then you take that little bomb and you compare it to the power of God that can speak worlds into existence. He put that power in a few atoms, and yet He has the power to create and speak vast universes into existence. What's my response to that? I fear Him. I fear Him. Oh, He's gracious and good. He cares for His children. There's no question about that. But He is still God. And if we lose that distinction, we've lost what is better. So fill your heart with the fear of the Lord. And the second thing is that we need to fill our homes with love. And I want you to see this in verse 17. Better is a dinner of herbs, or we could translate that greens. And for those that live in the South, you know what I'm talking about. Better is a dinner of greens where love is than a stalled ox. In other words, an ox that's ready to be offered and hatred therewith. There are certain things that are more beautiful where love is. Did you catch that phrase? And by the way, that word love there is the word that's often used in the Old Testament. It's used 40 times. 12 of those times, it talks about God's love for His people, Israel. Same word that's used there. A home where love is going to be a place where the countenance is cheered. The heart is merry because love resides there. You know, we oftentimes don't realize the kind of love that we ought to have in our homes. The Bible describes agape kind of love. That's the love that comes from God. Then there's the phileo kind of love. That's the tender love that comes for a mother for her children. Those are the kind of words. But in the Hebrew, this word is the kind of love that God has for His people Israel. It was the kind of love that David had for Jonathan as his friend. We could go through and look at all the uses of that, and you see it's a very tender, compassionate love that flows from the will. It flows from the will. I whenever I think of love that comes from the will, I think about those people that love bulldogs. I don't know why I think that. But Dr. Hobbs, years ago, used to have a bulldog by the name of Judge. And I'll be honest with you, that I had to take care of Judge many, many times as a middle schooler. When they would go on their long 7-week trips, Judge and I got to be well acquainted. I went over and fed him twice a day, along with all the chickens and everything else. And I have to tell you, Judge was the ugliest dog. Now, I never said that in front of Dr. Hobbs. I would never have said that. I would have never said, Dr. Hobbs, you've got the world's ugliest dog. He loved that dog, Judge. And I want to tell you something, Dr. Bill Hall loved him too. He said it was his twin brother. And I laughed every time he would refer to that. He still does. Every time I talk to him, he'll say, boy, I cannot. That dog that Dayton had, that bulldog Judge, that dog, I have his picture permanently impressed upon my brain. That's my twin brother. And that dog was the ugliest dog that everybody, but he dearly loved Aunt Carolyn and Dr. Hobbs. And they dearly loved that dog. Now, it wasn't based on beauty. They didn't go and have a beauty contest among all the bulldogs and say, all right, he's the most beautiful one, we're going to take him home. No. They just loved him in spite of the fact. Now, I imagine if I went to heaven right now and said, Dr. Hobbs, honestly, what did you really think about Judge's appearance? He'd have to be honest and said, he was the world's ugliest dog. But I loved him dearly. There's a point that I'm trying to make. You see, love doesn't have to be all the mushy stuff that the world throws out, which isn't honest for the most part. You see it all the time. It's promoted by Hollywood. It's promoted in the media. It's all this mushy kind of stuff. But you know, the kind of love that's willing to die for somebody else? The kind of love that wills to love something that's unlovely, that's not very pretty, and love it anyway. That's the kind of love that God has for us, because the Bible says that we're all guilty sinners. And He loved us. And it's because of His love for us that we can love Him. There are certain things that are better. And one of those is having a home filled with love. Those two things, a heart filled with the fear of God and a home filled with love, is going to produce a situation that's better for the child of God. I'm so thankful for these verses of Scripture. We're going to, Lord willing, continue with some of the betters of Scripture, because I didn't say bitters, I said betters of Scripture, because God has a lot to say. Good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is what? Is best. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you work in our hearts. We live in a very bitter world. Boy, there's so much hatred being spewed today all over our country, around the world, hatred for other people, based in many ways on false information. It's satanically inspired and stirred up. Help us not to fall into that category of hatred for others. Help us to understand that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. But we're first of all to love Thee with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. May that love grow in our hearts, and may we have it in our homes, but also may we have hearts filled with the fear of the Lord, understanding that you're good and you're gracious and you're kind, but you're also still God. Help us to fear you as we ought. And help us to have that awe of your power and might and strength and love and grace, all the things that make you God, all the things that give you glory. Lord, help that strengthen us to fear in our hearts the true and living God. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a good evening.